Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community. I see a generation standing on the truth in each and every nation. God is on the move.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hello, everybody. I am glad that you are joining us tonight. I've got Miss Kim in the house tonight.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you know, the last time I had you on here, just to remind our listeners, it was just 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? And I'm still laughing about the roller coaster story, or the theme park story, and I've got to know, did you ever find that picture?
I asked my daughter, Braxton, I said, hey, where would that picture be? And she said, Mom, I have no idea. I have Rubbermaid and my boxcar full of pictures, and I just haven't dug through there. But I haven't given up on that yet. I'm going to find that picture, and I'm going to show you, because it is priceless. I don't even think my mother-in-law has ever seen that picture. So when I find it, I need to send it to her, too. She may not get a chuckle as much as we did, but girl,
oh my gosh,
I have to find it.
You need
I'm
to find it.
I'm on a mission. Lord, bring it up.
That's right. Bring
it to the top of the pie.
That's right. And he will. So when he does, we are going to be posting that on the Facebook page. For those of that you did not hear that broadcast, we were talking about different kinds of fear. And this was a theme park where she and her family, she's in the midst of a fear attack.
Uh-huh.
And so if you'd like to go back and listen to that, you can catch us on our website, sundaynightlive.org, or you can also go to Google Podcast or Spotify Podcast.
A lot of places.
Yes, and hopefully maybe we can get on Apple soon. It's just haven't got there yet. Just haven't taken that step. But anyway, I believe that if you go back and listen to that, you'll really enjoy it. And if anything, you will walk away with a good laugh.
Yes, you will. You will walk away with a good laugh.
Yes. And then, oh gosh, I hope that our listeners enjoyed Miss Tara Carr. She was on last week. And Oh my goodness, that girl is a fireball.
She really is a fireball. I mean, gosh, the Holy Spirit just speaking and working through her tremendously. It's just so cool to listen to her. I mean, I don't think you can even talk to her and not get that just a little bit on you. It is,
wound
up for Jesus.
She is full, and that's her prayer.
Yeah.
She prays that she would be so full of the fire and that it would overflow on everybody else, and that's exactly what
that is what is happening.
Yes.
Everywhere she goes.
And so, actually, the broadcast was so encouraging to me. It really lit a fire in me. And she actually had a word from the Lord for somebody that was listening, which actually the word was for me. Now, I didn't tell the listeners at the time that was
for me.
That was me. But after we were done doing the show, I said that it was a word for me, and then I thanked her for it, and it was confirmation to what I had been praying for. And so if you want to find out what that is, y'all have to go back and listen, because it's just really good. And she, I just felt like when she was on that show, she actually ministered to me, you know, and it was just I felt like that show was meant for me. And, you know,
that is so, it's so right on. I feel like when I set any time with Tara, she is such, I don't think she recognizes, and I don't think she's intending to, I mean, probably she is intending to minister everywhere she goes, but I don't think she recognizes how much the Lord speaks through her to the people that are in front of her. I mean, I'll just keep it brief, and I think you know the story. I met Tara 2 years ago on a crazy situation. You know, she had a business, and she still does, but it's not to the level it was because she's turned over for, like, full-time ministry. But anyway, I met her on a whim. After my chemo, my eyebrows never came back, and I finally decided to get my eyebrows microbladed because they just wash off in the lake, you know? So anyhow, I met her through that. And at any rate, when I walked into that place, she and I connected instantly, and we spent 2.5-3 hours talking about Jesus and Holy Spirit. And I left, and then I had to go back in 6 weeks for a checkup or whatever, touch up or whatever you call it. And when I walked in, before the last time I left, you know, she prayed over me and sent me out. I prayed over her, sent each other out, and then we came back together at 6 weeks mark, and she had a word for me. And it was scary how accurate it was. I hadn't shared with anybody, and honest to goodness, I hadn't even shared with my husband at that point, because, you know, sometimes when God's stirring something in you, you're like, oh my gosh, it's just bigger than, obviously it's bigger than us, because that's how God works. And so I didn't even tell Gage, and then Tara gave me the word, and I just broke down, like, Lord, I cannot believe you just said that to me. And so I came home and I stewed on it for probably 3 days, like wanting to get it out of my mouth to my husband, but I didn't. And finally I told him, hey, this is going to sound nuts, but this is what God has been telling me for a little bit. It's all over my journals, this and that. And when I went over to Tara's, she confirmed that word for me. And I told him, and he's like, well, okay then. It was that big.
Well, God says so.
Yeah. And I really haven't shared that much with anybody else, just because it's just big and wild and weird. You know, not weird as in weird, just... it's just so wild what God will...
it's beyond what the world would consider normal, mm-hmm. I guess, maybe is a good way to put it. But
yeah.
But I do think that a lot of times when God gives us a word, there are times to wait till the right time to share that word.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, like if he's speaking for us to do something or whatever that's
right.
going on within you, with that, as you're meditating on that and thinking on it and praying on it, he's going to send somebody to confirm it.
Yeah.
And so what Tara had confirmed in my word last week, I had not even told my husband. I had been praying about this. It was just something that I was doing, just me and God.
Mm-hmm.
And so then after that, after the show, I had to tell my husband, look, this is what I've been praying, and this is what she said. And so it's just a time that we can just revel in how good God is, and that he really does care for us. And even in the littlest details of our life that we think don't matter and don't amount to much, God wants to meet you right down there in that place.
Yeah, that's good. That's so right. Thank God he does, but
yeah,
it's good.
And so actually, Tara will be on the radio next week again, because I was like, man, I need some more of that fire, you know?
Gosh.
And so that was one thing that she prayed over the listeners, was that we would be so full of the fire. And so that was something that I had been really thinking on a lot, and
mm-hmm.
just through the week, just really thinking about it, and just spark something. And then I go into church, and they sing the song, Set a Fire Down in My Soul.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, Lord, I want that fire. I want that fire. It's just
wow.
You know, beyond what you could ever, it's just, you know, it's beyond anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything else just kind of gets blocked out. And that's all that matters, is what God has and what he's going to do.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
How fun for you to get a confirmation of something you're praying, and then go to church and get another confirmation.
I'm telling you. And so that is definitely what God has been doing for me over the last week or two. Now, prior to that, probably not so much, but hey, that's all right, you know.
Right.
Right.
Day by day, week by week.
Yeah. And so here we are. We're in the 1st of December now, and we're about to be, I try to really meditate and think about Jesus, you know, in the month of December, and think about the things that are centered around his life and when he came. And obviously that's what we celebrate in Christmas. But with that being said, I have a couple of things, but you know, those Advent calendars. Well, I never really ever did an Advent calendar. Mm-hmm. Well, usually they have them for kids and you get candy and
all that. Yeah, I just want to punch it out and eat the candy.
I know.
That's all I ever did. And if I don't like that candy, I just punch another day.
I know. So guess what I did? I was so excited about an Advent calendar. Yeah. Last year, I bought one for my dogs. Yes, I did.
Oh, dog biscuits in there?
Yes. And so guess what?
Dude,
every morning.
Study an Advent.
He did. So, and that is no lie. And so did Chewy. Chewy joined in on it too. And so we went. I gave them their treat. They had to sit and they had to listen to a little lesson about Jesus. Jesus saved you to come live with me.
I guaranteed.
Maybe it was my practice. Who knows? But anyways, this year I was looking into something that I would like, as most of our listeners know, my family is growing and I have a grandchild that'll be their first Christmas this year. Not old enough to really start any traditions yet, but I was thinking about what could I do, because I really would like to do something, you know, Advent-wise. And I saw some things where you can light a candle each week and things like that. And so I kind of just left it, you know, just hadn't really done anymore.
Yeah.
And so last night, or this last week, my daughter-in-law came to me and she says, I have something I want to give you. She said, well, it's part of your Christmas. And I said, okay. It was an Advent calendar.
What?
And guess what was behind the
doors? What?
Jewelry.
Ooh. I've never seen an Advent calendar with jewelry.
I told her how much she blessed me, and I just thanked her, and I thought, somebody gave me an Advent calendar? I get to do my own little Advent calendar.
Now you can get Duke and Chewy a bone, and you can see what jewelry you get to wear this week.
Yeah, well, they didn't get a calendar this week. This year, I guess I should say. Yeah, they don't get one. They know it. They hear.
Okay.
They don't get anything.
Okay. Just for you.
Yep. Did you guys ever do any type of Advent calendar at your...
We really haven't. We did when the kids were small. I don't know how, you know, much it soaked in, but we have done them in the past, and just put little treats behind the door, you know, behind the doors. But now I'm excited to tell you, and we released it. The Advent calendar, instantly what pops in my head is the one on Christmas Vacation.
Oh, really?
You know, have you seen Christmas Vacation?
I have, but it's been a while.
It's not that spiritual of a show, but it does end up with a good meaning behind it. You're going to have to go home and watch this.
It was just on the other day, I think.
You have to watch it. I mean, you can't go through Christmas without Clark Griswold and his family. But anyhow, they open up these little Advent calendars and get the treat behind there. And so we've done it before, but it's not a tradition thing that we do at our house.
And so me either, and really, it never was something that I was ever taught. So it's just something that I've been looking into, you know, just looking at. And
what a fun possibility for you to start traditions with your
I know.
Grandson.
And I don't, yeah, and I don't even know what that looks like. But I do know one thing. When my children were growing up, I didn't know all of this stuff. And so I wasn't able to instill this into my kids that young.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the opportunity now that I can do that with my grandchildren.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited. I tell you what, he's 6 months old, and he loves for you to read books to him.
Maybe you do an Advent calendar with books behind the doors.
Well, I'll tell you what I did is I went and I got him. Yeah, I went and got him a for beginner Bible, like very basic board book Bible stories. And so I thought, if I'm going to read a story, I want to read a story about Jesus.
Oh, that'll be so good. You know, I just see in my mind, because, you know, kids, when they start reading, and they're not reading, but when they've been read to, I saw a sweet little video with one of our people from church and their little boy the other day, and he was reading the Brown Bear, What Do You See book, and he doesn't know how to read, and he's probably 2, and he is reading every page. He just turns it, and he says, Brown Bear, What Do You See? And then he goes to the next one, you know, and I just see how sweet would that be if you are telling those stories. And then you can recite those stories without even actually reading them. You know what's coming next.
Oh, yes.
What a great time to start that.
Yeah, and so I'm excited about that, because that's a new thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But I say that with an Advent calendar. one of the things also that I've wanted, that I'm going to start, that I'm started, is I'm going to, of course, you know, there's 25 chapters in Luke, mm-hmm. and so I'm wanting to read the a chapter a day, right. which I did that last year, but just try to look in there and see something that's different, mm-hmm. or something that, you know, is not what you would typically... We had the same story. Okay, Lord, what else can we see in this?
Right.
And I actually saw something.
I can't wait to hear.
And so in where Jesus was, I say Jesus, let me go back, Mary and Joseph.
Okay.
So here they are. She's about to, well, we say domino sometimes at our mm-hmm. house, but she's about to have a baby late in her pregnancy. And, are traveling on a donkey to go to Jerusalem because they had to. It was a law because they had to. Jump in. You can help me with the story, and then I'll tell you kind of the deal. But so he's on the way, and so I can only imagine she's this. I can imagine being pregnant, you know, that late in your term. We're riding on a donkey. No telling how long it took you to get there. You get there, and they're like, "Sorry, we don't have a place for you to stay. Mm. All the places are full." And so what do? They eventually find a stable, a barn, basically, mm-hmm. to stay in with the animals. And as I was reading that and as I was thinking about it, this is what I was thinking. Could you imagine a family today in that situation? I think about, for instance, you know, we've been talking some about our relationships with our spouses and things like that. And I think about Mary and Joseph. You know, Joseph has never even consummated his marriage with Mary. Right. He's just being obedient and doing what God had told him to do, to take care of Mary mm-hmm. until she has Jesus.
Yeah.
And so here they are. They're traveling. They're going to do what they're supposed to do. And they get there, and it's like, great. What are we going to do now, Joseph? We don't have a hotel to stay in. What are we going to do? We're just going to... And, you know, I think about... I can just almost laugh because, you know, the family today, if they get into a situation where things just don't look like they're going the right way, mm-hmm. like, and then I could see Mary would be like, I thought God said I was going to have the son, his son, God's son. Why is it that I don't even have a place to stay?
Yeah.
I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. I have, you know, Joseph is taking care of me and we're going, we're doing this. But I here I am. It's about time for me to have this baby. And now here I am. I'm going to have it in a barn? God, have you left me?
Yes.
Have you left me? I was just thinking about that. And I think how many times we feel like God has led us to do something in our life. And what he intended for good, anytime we're going along that path, we see, or things happen. They're not perfect.
Yeah.
And we think that maybe we didn't hear God because it doesn't look like the way we thought it would look.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, umpteen times in my life, could be this week too. I mean, it's just you think, I know that I heard him. But I think too, and we've said this before just in talking, probably not on the radio show, but we get in our mind what it's going to look like, what the blessing, what God's favor is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Mary was assured, hey, don't be fearful. God's favor is on you, found favor in God. And so we know that that's the truth, and we know that's the truth for us. But so many times it's because in our brain we get what that blessing or favor looks like. And it's never what we think. It's never how we see it. I mean, you know, I don't want to... You jump ahead of your story or
no, not. Go for it.
But I mean, to know that it's very pertinent that this baby be born in the lowest of low places on purpose, because that's the Savior of the world, and you know that's where he would be. It's not like we in some grand, you know, place. And so it's the same for us. It's just so you think, God, did I not hear this? Am I not in the spot that you wanted me to be in? Because here I am in a barn.
Yes.
In a mess, having your son.
And Yeah.
That's our life. Like,
and you're like, I've never even done the deed, and here I am.
Yes.
And I'm having, which I know Mary would have been so honored, I would think, to have been the mother of Jesus, the mm-hmm. Son of God. And, you know, even in when you start out in Luke, it talks where Mary went to Elizabeth, and then as she, mm-hmm. you know, as she opened the door and she saw Mary, Elizabeth saw Mary, you know, John the Baptist leapt in her womb.
Yeah.
And so it was a confirmation to her that, you know, she was pregnant with the Lord, mm-hmm. the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And so God confirmed that in that with her.
Yeah. And, you know, to interject just a little bit, I think we talked about this last time, even on the radio, that within our youth group, we've been specifically talking about people from the Bible that were in teenage years. And we've been illuminating those people for the youth to understand, like, you're never too young. And many times throughout the Bible, God uses used teenage adolescent people, and Mary was one of the people we talked about. And all that being said, I know that she was honored to be having the son, to have God's son, but it also is reassuring, and you know, it comforts me to know too, though, as we talk to the youth, she's very much human. And sometimes we take these people from the Bible and
yes.
we dehumanize, like, she probably wasn't feeling this or that, you know, we make up in our mind. She had it made. She was having God's son. Yeah, but she also is human. And now she's sitting in a barn covered in yuck, fixing to have a baby with a man who she's not technically married to, was betrothed. You know what people were saying about her, how she must feel, and how even though she's honored to have God's son, she's still human. And she's walking through this,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure this out, you know, and
yes. And that was one of the things, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think so many times we do that with all the people in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We put them on this, you know, a moody character that, you know, they just did it and that's what's happened, and
right.
they didn't have any problems or whatever, but they thought they were real people.
Right.
They had real feelings, real thoughts. And that is one thing also that I like about The Chosen. Now, I know, you know, they did that the best that they could.
Right.
And there may not always be portrayed like it exactly was, but mm-hmm. I do like that, because it puts reality into the people
yeah.
that experience that.
Yeah.
You know, to see Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, love on that lady at the well, and to love on Peter, even when Peter does his crazy stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what I'm thinking is, you know, think about this family, Mary and Joseph, and they're doing this, and God has been working this all out, and he's been telling them what to do, and he says, this is, you know, all of this, but then on the outside, mm-hmm. it looks like it's coming down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and this is not really anything I was going to bring up today, but then to find out that they want to kill your baby?
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you think about that, but if you think about the shepherds, that they came as soon as she had baby Jesus, the shepherds came
mm-hmm.
and worshiped
mm-hmm.
and was able to, through the Holy Spirit, to move, and came and confirmed that this is Christ the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, you just can't make this stuff up.
You can't. That's what I'm saying. You cannot make
yeah.
this stuff up.
Yeah.
And I just think about now Christmas. Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christmas. We're doing our Advent. We do mm-hmm. our calendar. Like I said, we're reading in Luke. We're reading a chapter a day, you know, and we're trying to look at Jesus's life. And did Mary know that we were going to look back one day and revel at her story?
Right.
And I think that so many times when we get through and we go and we do what God tells us to do, we don't know
right.
what it's going to look like when we look back in the meantime.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just go and we do what God tells us to do. And in that, we listen to the Holy Spirit, and he guides us, and we follow that peace. And with that, there will I promise you, there will be a day you will look back and you will revel at what God has done.
Amen.
And that's what we do at Christmas.
Yeah.
We look back at Mary and Joseph and revel of what God did in their life alone to bring about our Savior that is going to come and save us.
Yeah.
Once and for all.
It's good. It's so good.
And so I just think about that. You know, what is it that, you know, what is it that we are going through right now? What has God led you to? Because there's so many different seasons in our life.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be more seasons in Mary and Joseph and in Jesus' life. You know, Jesus gets lost. I mean, like, I don't know how you forget about your kid. But anyway, he loses, you know, they forget about their kid. A couple days go by. But anyway, you know, and I just, you know, what is it? What season are you in right now in your life?
Yeah.
What is it that God's wanting, is doing in you and wanting to do through you?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's probably already some things that you can look back.
Oh, yeah.
And see what he's done, but now he's doing another thing.
And I think it's so strange, too, because absolutely, if you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time, you've walked and you've been obedient and you've walked through some things that you just keep walking because he says, just keep walking. This is what we're going to do in this season. And you just can't see it. You know, Mary and Joseph, they just couldn't see it. We just can't see it. But at some point, you get through that season and you can turn back and look and you can see it then. And then you're like, man, that was so much better. And that's what I'm saying. Like, we get in our mind what that blessing and favor in that situation looks like, but it doesn't ever look like, a lot of times, it doesn't look like that.
Yes.
It's something else God has planned. And when you get to that place, out of that season or through that season or whatever it is, and you turn back and look, and it doesn't look like anything that you thought it was going to, but it's always better. Even if it was a bad situation, if you walked through it with Christ, it's always better. And you get to that season ending, and you think, oh, man, thank God it didn't look like the little pea brain thing that I had made up in my mind, because it's so much better.
I know. And so many times, for me, when I think that God's not moving like I thought he should or would, or how, like you said, if it doesn't look like, then I begin to doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the enemy can come in and try to really twist
the whole
situation.
We were just over at the church earlier and we started talking about a certain situation. I don't even remember, but we were talking about that same thing. And I said, man, and I was speaking about myself, like, how long do you have to walk with the Lord before you finally don't get a little like, uh-oh, what's happening? This isn't, you know, like you just get worried about something, or you get to not thinking that God's not, you know, he's not working right now, which is silly. And when you say it out of your mouth, you know that's not true. But how long? I just feel like God's like, golly lady, how many times have you come out of a good or bad situation? And it's still so amazing because you walked through it with Christ. How many more times before I just trust and go, I don't see it. It doesn't look like I thought it was going to, but I know that I know God, and I know he's walking before me. He's going before me, and it's going to be so much better.
Yeah. You know, and in that, we should look at it more like, I used to go a month before I realized this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, you know, maybe God is where I get here. And, you know, and then, okay, so then it's not quite a month. Now we're looking at a week or two, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, well, now is it, you know, it's less and less.
Yeah,
and it's
maybe
like,
it's
okay,
just an hour. And then you snap back out. And you're like, wait a second.
Yes. Because I serve a God.
That's right.
That is big.
Yeah.
And so that makes me think about this scripture that I wanted to share with everybody. It's in John 14, verses 26 and 7.
Yeah.
We're going to pull that up right here. Now, this is going to be out of the, you want to read it for us? This is out of the ESV, out of the ESV version.
14, 26 and 27?
Yeah. chapter 14, verses 26 and 7.
Okay, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid."
And so Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, so Mary, she gives birth to this child, and this is the message that he leaves us with. I will help you.
I will help you.
And guess what? You don't have to fret if there's not a hotel. I'll provide you a barn.
Yes.
And we can have peace in the midst of that.
Yes. Peace I live with you. And not as the world gives to you. I think that's so important because a lot of times that's what we're looking for, is a peace that maybe we've made up in our mind. Or maybe we look around and see that somebody else has that. We just assume that that's the peace. If I had this, I would be at peace. That he doesn't leave like the world, but he's got the Helper to help you. And he's going to provide. It's all taken care of.
That's right. That's right. And so follow the peace.
Mm-hmm.
The peace will take you where God wants you to go.
Yes.
And it makes me think of that scripture too. And I know I'm probably not going to quote it right, but it says the Lord, the man makes his plans, but the Lord orders his steps.
Yeah.
And if we will just follow that, follow the Holy Spirit and follow that leading, he will keep us on that blessed path. He'll keep us on that path of goodness. And what's going to happen is we think that path is going to be this awesome, we're going to be this awesome, great thing, but it's going to be, you know, man, what's going on around
That's
me?
Right.
I got peace. I'm going to be just fine because God's with me and he's taking care of me.
Amen.
And then that makes me think about Paul. He says, "I have learned to be content in any and every situation, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm not hungry."
That's right.
Or whether I live with a whole bunch or whether I don't live with very much at all. I'm content.
I'm content.
And yes,
as soon as we find that,
yes,
as soon as we receive it, we grab hold of that and then just join up with Christ and just find contentment in him. I mean, you know, all things, all situations, you're in a manger full of poop and yuck, and it doesn't look like you thought it. But as soon as you join up with him, it's peace.
It is. It's peace. And I like that, too, that the world doesn't give. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people look for peace in money and sex and drugs and whatever, you know. But that's not the peace.
Yeah.
We don't want that kind of peace. We want the peace that will last.
Yeah, that's real. Because the truth is, many of us, including myself, we've spent some years receiving quote unquote that kind of peace, and it's very temporal.
Yes.
And it's just a cover for the peace that you do not have. It's just a cover. And as soon as you can see that the real peace is in Christ, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing changes, because that is the very real peace that can bring down to the bottom of your spirit where you can be content just in him.
That's right.
And not have to need or search for all the other things.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know you and I have talked about it before. I'm pretty sure we talked about it. And I don't know. I think we just hit on it. But, you know, when I hear the word peace, there are so many things that flash through my mind. And Lord knows I don't have the time to tell it in this program. But Gage and I had gotten ourselves in a heap of financial problems. And we never set out that way. I think it was just young, and we probably are there. I mean, we could be there as older too, but at this particular time in our life, we were young, and our goal was to just continue to get larger and bigger and more and blah, you know, just going after those worldly things. Nothing wrong with them at all, but we were overextending ourselves and we were out of the will of God. That's all there was to it. You know, we were asking the Lord to bless these things we were doing, but we were just kicking down doors and moving into spaces and places that the Lord had not set up for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I know he's like, you can go and you can maybe have some success, but the blessing will not be on that because it's not where I'm calling you to step into. And so it was good. It was good for a while, and we were just growing and going. This is specifically in the agriculture world. At any rate, we had gotten ourselves in a financial spot, which probably wouldn't have been such a bad place until the drought hit in 2011, and then it was over, out of our control. I mean, that's all out of our control. We couldn't control that situation, no matter how hard we worked or what we did. And at any rate, what I always say, our real jobs would not pay for an agriculture issue because it's big numbers. You know, that's just how the ag world is. And so we were like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with this? Anyhow, we were in a place in space, and we could talk about it some other time, but there's no other way that we would have gotten out of that but God. And I remember I would just sit down at the desk to pay things, and I was thinking, if I just had more money, we would have peace. If I could sell this for more money, we would have peace. If I could, you know, and we were looking to those things. And I would pay this bill and not this bill, or pay a portion of this bill and not this bill. And I know we've all done it, but I remember finally just being so exhausted from Rob and Pete to pay Paul kind of thing, and just keep afloat. And also in a problem where we were with pride, nobody knew this was going on. We're just,
we're not telling anybody.
We're at church and we're smiling like everything is fantastic, and we are at home just a total wreck, going under, trying to figure out how we're going to buy the next jug of milk at our house. And I remember being so exhausted mentally and spiritually and emotionally, mostly, you know. And I thought, on my face, probably, if I'm being honest, probably the first time in my life that I'd been walking with Christ, got on my face in my house and said, Lord, I don't care what has to happen. I just need peace. We need peace over this. Whatever that looks like, whatever that means, we just want peace. And so I can't even hear that word without just running through my mind in that. And of course, I have walked with him enough. Even at that point, I knew that somehow he was going to work it out. I was a little fearful because I figured it wasn't going to look like what I had hoped for. And it didn't look like it. But nevertheless, it was better. We came out of that like not even smelling like fire. I do not know how, but we came out of that not smelling like fire, and we had peace. And it's where Gage and I point check everything now. Like, wait a sec, let me pray about, am I going to have peace? Is this going to bring peace or keep peace in my life? Or is this going to bring about something that I'm like, just get in a space outside of God's will, because I just want peace. And so, at any rate,
that's good.
He got us out of it. He always does. When we're foolish, we just have to stop and ask him. It might not end up looking like how you think, and it didn't. But we did come out of it not smelling like smoke, and we had peace. Praise God.
That's good. And you know, I really feel like that God is wanting me to encourage, or us to encourage our listeners, that don't look at the circumstance.
Oh, yeah.
Don't look around. It may not look like what you think it's supposed to look like, but that does not mean that God is not in it.
Yeah.
God is in it. And if he's led you there, he is in it.
Yeah.
And he wants to bring something good to pass in your life through this.
Yeah.
And so just keep going. Just keep going. Don't stop.
Yeah. That's good. That is so good. Just keep going, because he is bringing something that you can't see. And I would encourage a listener too, and I know it's probably not the direction we were going, but I would encourage a listener too, even if God didn't bring you to this and you brought yourself to it and you feel like, oh my gosh, no, don't worry. Because, you know, this is where we're like, even if you got yourself here, God wants good for you. He has good for you. He will help you. Just look at Christ. You know, instantly you have to just go to Peter and getting out of the boat. And don't look at what the waves and the storm and everything going around you. Just lock eyes with Christ. whether you got yourself there or whether he called you to it and it looks like a just crazy mess right now, look at the face of Christ.
I am so glad that you brought that up, because probably if I would look at the times that I have gone through something, mm-hmm. most of the time it's been because of my own doing.
Yeah.
My own choices, my own whatever. And I've gotten myself in this position.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that could be it. You know what, listeners, you have not done something so horrible mm-hmm. that God's not going to show up and take care of you and help you in this situation. But again, remember, it will not look like what you think it's going to look like.
Yeah.
God is there if you ask him and if you invite him in there. And that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
It's relationship. It's not religion. It's relationship.
Amen. And you know, and I know the Bible tells us this, but I have been times when I've got myself in just a stupid mess. And then I run to Christ and he's there for me, but it won't look like what we expect. But the deal is, the Bible talks to us about God's kingdom. It's completely upside down. And so what happens is we get used to the world system, and then we expect things to look like a certain way. Obviously, if there's blessing and there's God's going to get you out of this thing, we look at it like success or gaining, but God's kingdom is upside down. And so it might look like something like Gage and I did. It might look like decrease at first stint. It might look like, this is not how I thought it was going to go. But guaranteed, when you get in the kingdom and you get under Christ the head, it's going to be so much better. So, yeah, it doesn't matter how bad what you've gotten yourself into. He's bigger than that. And that doesn't make him fearful at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it just might not look like you think it's going to look. When he starts helping you out of that situation, it's going to look a little different, I'm sure, than you think. But so good in the end.
And you said fear. God doesn't fear. And that is so good. God doesn't even know what that is. I mean, but we experience fear.
Yeah.
And when that fear comes, a lot of times we will try to make decisions based off of that fear. Mm-hmm. And one thing I want to encourage you is, if you are in fear and you are making a decision in reference to that fear, I'm going to ask you to pause and pray. Stop, pause, and pray. Mm. Just like the stop, drop, and roll if you're on fire. Stop, pause, and pray.
Yeah.
And see what God wants you to do, because you do not want to make a decision out of fear, because God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And we want to make a decision out of a sound mind.
Yeah. So good.
And I say that because I have made those decisions out of fear. And they have not been the right decision.
Yeah.
And then God had to fix me in that one. And he still did, though. But
yes. And that's why it's so important. You know, I hear this all the time in the barbershop. And I agree. We don't have to be in church or in a certain place to be serving or loving or be in a relationship with God at all. I agree with this. But it's so important to be in a community of believers and not to, shove that aside. The importance of it is, there's plenty of times that I get ready to make a decision out of fear, and thank God I'm surrounded with people that'll grab a hold of me and say, hey, wait a second. What? Let's think about this for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
We know God. This is who he is. This doesn't freak him out at all. He's bigger than this. You've seen him do greater things than this. Last time you were in this situation, we saw God work. Today is no different. Just give God the space to work through it. And so it's important to be surrounded by people that believe and know God's word, because you need it. You need people to help you push pause and help you pray while we make decisions, and not just like, and then, make a decision without somebody speaking truth to you.
I'm so laughing because I said stop, pause, and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all the same thing, isn't it? Stop and pause.
Oh, whatever. I liked it. I was
stop,
like, That's
maybe great. I should say stop, ponder, and pray, because that's what we need to think about.
Hey, that's a good one right there.
But
pause, ponder, and pray. You know, preachers, you got to have all in the same letter.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Let's
pause,
do it.
Pause, ponder,
and pray. So the three P's. There we go. Remember the three P's. Pause,
like
ponder,
it.
And pray.
That's good.
But as you were talking about surrounding yourself with a body of believers or with friends that mm-hmm. are going to build you up and help you.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this is what comes to mind. As we're talking about these things, we know the things that we're saying in this episode. We know, I would even go as far as to say most of our listeners know, but sometimes it just, when you're in the midst of the turmoil or the fear or whatever it is, you need someone to remind you.
Yeah.
Just, you're like, oh, yeah. I remember now.
Yes.
You know, and that's okay.
Yeah, because we're human, and what happens is, even though you know, we know who God is, we know the truth, we know what His Word says, you just need reminding in that moment of whether it's fear or anxiety or, you know, whatever stress that you're in. A lot of times I'll go back and, you know it's not original thought. People have told me this before, but go back and just read those journals or those notes you've made for yourself, because we need for God to bring to remembrance.
That's right.
We need it. We need for Him to bring that to the top of the pile that says, hey, look what I already did. And a lot of times when I read through those journals or when I think back, what He did in one place was so much greater than what I'm facing right now that I'm like, what am I even freaking out about? Like, what? Why am I letting this get out of control?
Mm-hmm.
Look what He did in that situation. And that was so much bigger than this one.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
We just need for people to remind us. That's why we need each other.
That's it. That's why. Because, well, and then it becomes where iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get around your friend, and when one of them is feeling a little dull at that moment, you're going to have that friend come along and say, hey, look, yeah. remember what God says, and sharpen your iron
yeah.
at that moment. But I really want to just pray for our listeners, because one of the things that is still just on my heart and my mind is I believe that somebody is doing what God wants them to do. They feel like, God, I just know You led me here, and I know this is what You said, but I don't understand why things are going the way they're going.
Mm.
And I just feel like that God wants you to know that you are doing what He wants you to do, and just keep going and keep doing, and you will be able to look back, and you will be able to revel at what I've done.
What God's done.
Yeah, and so let's just pray. Let's
yeah.
just pray for Father, I just thank You for our listeners. And Lord, I just pray for whoever it is that may be going through that hard time, Lord, that difficult time. Lord, maybe it is that they're doing what You've told them to do. And they're like, Lord, why have You done this? What's going on? What is this? But Father, I pray that You would encourage them today by sending them somebody to encourage them. But also, Lord, sending Your Spirit to give them peace, no matter what it is that they see that's going on around them. And Lord, about these people that maybe they've got themselves in a situation that just looks dark and there's no way out. Lord, I thank You that You love them no matter what. You don't condemn them. You love them and You want good things for them. And so, Lord, I thank You that You're going to come in, and Father, that You're going to work and move in that situation and whatever our listeners are dealing with. And Father, that You're going to help them to see You in everything that they do. Father, we just worship You and we thank You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a comfort. What a
yes.
comfort. That's a word for somebody today.
I think so, because, you know, I just think about some of the things that I feel like God has led me through and some of the things that I faced that I just, wait, where did I miss it?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. Now looking back at who I am today, where I'm at today, I didn't miss it, but I thought I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And God brings it all back to remembrance.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah. And so, you know, going back to Mary and going back to Joseph, could you imagine she's in this barn, called a barn, but holding her baby and looking and seeing that this is going to be the Savior of the world. And it makes me think about that song, Mary, Did You Know?
Mm.
I think she did.
I think she did know. I think maybe not to the full extent, and she didn't know how God was going to do it, because I don't think we ever can really figure out how God's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she did know. I think she knew. And that was really, she had peace, and probably what the story that I created is us in the real world, she probably did have peace in the midst of that,
mm-hmm.
because she knew she was carrying God's son, because she knew how she got pregnant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if you didn't know, you know something major. I mean, you know that you had never been with anybody, and now you're pregnant with a child, and an angel comes down and speaks to you. So, I mean, if she didn't know to the extent,
mm-hmm.
you have to know, I don't have any other girlfriends that I walk to the well with that this is going down.
Yeah, I know.
There is nobody else in my clique that...
Yeah, there's nobody I can go to that understands what I'm going through.
Yeah. Can you relate to this? You know, I'm just pregnant by God. And
crazy. I mean,
yes.
Isn't that if somebody would come up to us and say, I think the Lord got me pregnant, or God got me pregnant, we'd be like, we need to call the mental health authorities.
Yes.
But we need to be open to that. We need to think. But I'm not saying that's what God's going to do. But
right.
What I'm saying is, you know, it's subtle. What God does is subtle.
It is. It is. It's just... so wild to think. And of course, I mean, yeah, if somebody came up today and said this happened, we could definitely be like, whoa, hold on, maybe we do need to call the, because it wasn't in God's word and prophesied hundreds of years back. But I mean, can you imagine, you know, these families knew this word inside out, and here you are knowing the scriptures, and now you're it's working through you.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
And I think I interrupted you Mm-mm. earlier, but I want to do a disclaimer. Now, I am not trying to add to the word or take away from the word,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying to look at it as in real people.
Yeah.
And so that may not necessarily have been the way mm-hmm. that it happened or anything, but it happened.
Right.
And we have record of it.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to look into that and say, how can this strengthen us?
Yeah.
I mean, we know Jesus loves us and died on the cross for us, but how else can we look at this story and know that God is with us and he takes care of us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he does. And you know, I see the Bible when I read it. I kind of see it in picture form. I see it in movie form. And so I do recognize there's been some people, like when we were talking about The Chosen, people feel like, oh, maybe they've taken too many liberties and put some things in there. You know, maybe they did. But the truth is, if you read this, we know what we know. But then it is up to us, for us personally, to let God fill in the blanks. And how I fill in those gaps and see it is not necessarily how somebody else fills in those gaps and see it. That's the great thing of how God created us. We're going to look at this and interpret it a little different, all of us. But we know what we know. And we know that she was pregnant as a virgin. And she had the Savior of the world in a stable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that. And however you fill in so you can humanize the story for you, you know, so that you can be in
grasp
that story.
Yeah. Grasp the reality of what really took place.
Yeah.
On that night.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And, you know, I always tell my youth kids, Gage and I tell them all the time, and so I would tell a listener this too, I'm telling it to myself. You know, when we humanize it, when we put ourselves in these spots, many times we do try to put ourselves in the wrong spot, but I don't think it really matters where you put yourself. But a lot of times we end up trying to put ourselves in where maybe Jesus is. But if we put ourselves in Mary or Joseph's spot, or the innkeepers that don't have any room for them, I mean, we can put ourselves anywhere in that story, and it helps us see that there's going to come a time in another 300 or 400 years, 1,000 years, that who knows? I mean, I think Mary thought we were going to be studying a word about her 2,300 years later.
Well, that's right. That's
I don't think Mary knew that. And so it's important for us to realize what's going on in her life today. We don't know how God's going to work that out. And if in 1,000 years, people will be looking to that for some encouragement too. That's why we just have to keep our eyes on Jesus, because we don't know how we're entwined into God's story. We just have no idea. We know that we are. It's always about Jesus. And if you just keep your eyes on Jesus, somewhere, somehow down the line, this is part of his story and we get to be part of it.
And it's going to
help. Yeah, it's going to help somebody somehow, somewhere, and glorify him in the meantime.
That's right.
And so
that's it, is, you know, as we are going into December and, you know, just thinking about Jesus and the things and knowing that God is with us no matter what and where we go, and just remembering that. And this just came to mind, is that you had said something about how different people will see it different in the way that they make it personal for them. And the thing that came to mind was that the word is alive and living. And what you are going to read, I just know so many times I can read a verse and it means something to me, and then later it's like something else totally just jumps out at me.
Yeah.
And it's totally different. And so really that's what I'm trying to say is read it.
Right.
Just go and read it and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here?
Yeah.
What is it that you want me to know, and what is it that you want me to see? And then listen.
Absolutely. Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today?
Yes.
Because it's different today than it was yesterday or last year. It's different. It's always, he has a fresh new word if we're looking for it for us.
And that is one thing I know, that God is faithful, that if you will ask, he will answer. He says, knock and the door shall be opened. And so ask.
Yeah.
And expect the answer. And if you, and I would even encourage you this much, is get your notebook and write down what it is and date it. And then again, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, 30 years or however many years from now, you're going to look back and you're going to look in that journal and you're going to see what God said to you.
Yeah.
You're going to remember. And that's so good. Exciting. And so that's just that more and more. Lord, set a fire in us, deep down in our soul. Set a fire that we can't, you know, it can't be controlled, but it's going to be outpoured onto the people that are around us.
Yeah.
And fill us, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Fill us, Lord, with that, that we can walk around with the idea of God is here with me in the midst of all of this. He, as I'm walking and I'm driving, he's here.
Yeah.
God's in the midst.
And he's
in the midst, and he is going to direct me, and he's going to lead me.
Amen. Amen. I'm excited about the Christmas season. We'll read Luke.
So we're going to be reading in Luke.
Yeah. All month of December.
It's a chapter a day starting. Yeah, you would start December 1st, so if you're behind, you can go ahead and get caught up, but... Shoot, I don't even know what today is.
It's good. I don't either. It's the 30th. We're not behind.
We're not?
I'm going to start tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I think. Well, anyhow, you're ahead because you're that student.
Oh. Well, you know, I have to be ahead. No, I'm just teasing. Anyway, whatever today is, it's Sunday, and we're going to rejoice in the Lord always and be glad. And as we go ahead and finish out the program, we want to just leave you with some peace tonight. You know, the Lord says we can lay down our head in peace and have sweet sound sleep. And so I just pray that over our listeners, that you just have a sweet sound sleep tonight. You're rested. You wake up on your first day back to work, if you work outside the home or whatever it is, and that you are renewed and revived, and that the fire of God is deep down in your soul, and you're sharing that and pouring it out on other people.
Amen.
So
on that note, we're going to say good night, everybody, and we are going to catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's a wrap.
The preceding program has been recorded live and is presented by Tape Delay.